Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Ed Vitagliano.
And welcome back, folks, to Today's Issues. Ed Vitagliano sitting in for Tim Wildman this week. I am joined by Ray Pritchard, founder of Keep Believing Ministries. Ray, we generally give you a couple minutes to talk about Keep Believing Ministries. What's your website? What can people find there?
Well, Ed, our website is keepbelieving.com, and we've got biblical resources, sermons, Bible study, Q&A, podcasts, videos, all designed to help folks around the world, because we get people from, 150 different countries who come and visit us. It's free. If you got a question about the Bible, if you're looking for good Bible study material, or you just want something to maybe encourage you in your own walk with the Lord, surf on over to keepbelieving.com and check us out.
All right. And if folks want to have you come and teach at a conference or their church or what have you, they can do that there?
Absolutely. There's a contact form, and we'll just contact me, and we'll work out the details.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Ray. All right. Steve Jordahl takes Fred Jackson's place. Steve is reporter and news anchor for American Family News. I always have to say good morning / good afternoon. We do have listeners on the eastern seaboard.
We don't want to leave them out of anything.
No, absolutely not.
And all right. Ray, I love that you're surfing now, right, Ray? I've forgotten that that's what you do on the internet.
And that's what I do. I surf the internet.
And 10, baby.
That's right.
He surfs the internet. Well, listen, surfing is apparently better for Ray's health than biking.
Biking.
Yeah, yes. I've never broken a bone surfing the internet.
By the way, I don't think I've asked you this. Are you back up to speed to where you can ride your bike and stuff or what?
Well, I am riding my bike. I've ridden about close to 900 miles since I got back on my bike in April.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I can walk. I can't run, but that's okay. I didn't run before the accident anyway.
900 miles. Ray, yeah. That is just outstanding.
Good. Well, it's outstanding, except he always ends up right back where he began. So what's the point? It's not like he's going
somewhere. Why bother? Why get off the couch?
Right. Yeah, there seems to be something wrong with that kind of thinking there, Steve. All right. What do we got news-wise?
Let's just start. I want to start with correcting a record. This is not going to take long, but you may have been reading, Breitbart had it, Christian Post, I think, had something, and the headline said 1 million moms launches Whole Foods boycott over Drag Queen Story Hour event. It's an incorrect headline. It's an incorrect article. So what we're saying is Whole Foods, it was a sponsor of the Atlanta Drag Queen Story Hour, which was moved from the library to the mayor's office, and the mayor thanked Whole Foods. And 1 million moms is not happy with Whole Foods.
Now, 1 million moms, some people may not know, is a division of American Family Association.
Which is why I'm bringing it up.
Yes, good.
So, yes, it is the division of American Family. And so they're not pleased with Whole Foods, but they are not boycotting Whole Foods. And maybe you can...
Well, and that is an important distinction because... generally. Now, 1 million moms, what they do is they send out kind of action alerts like a American Family Association does generally.
Right.
We'll pick a couple of topics and give people a way for them to participate, you know, get informed, equip them, activate them. That's part of our mission statement. And 1 million moms does the same thing.
Right.
Now, the reason this is an important distinction is because generally speaking, American Family Association only calls for one boycott at a time.
Right.
So we are boycotting Target still. And people will say, hey, why don't you boycott so-and-so and so-and-so? Well, there's all sorts of groups and companies out there that we could call for a boycott of, but it's confusing for our supporters.
Right.
It's, are we boycotting so? I can't keep up with them all. So we pick one Target so we can talk about an issue. We're actually not trying to put anybody out of business.
Right.
We just use the boycott as a way to raise an important issue, and we're already doing that with the Target boycott.
Right.
But we do keep people informed about what's happening with other companies. So it is an important distinction, and a couple of these excellent websites, news sources, they just got that wrong. We are not boycotting Whole Foods.
All right.
Or even half foods.
No.
Not boycotting partial foods. So I got Ray to laugh. That was good.
Good.
Yeah, that was good. All right, what else we got?
All right, gentlemen, we have finally gone around the bend. We have hit the twilight zone. This, to me, is just... I can hardly believe it. This is a story.
Ray and I have no idea what you're going to say because it's not in our story meeting.
This is a story I found since our story meeting. So this starts, and it starts with a horrific attack. A gentleman named Kurt Brockway was at a rodeo, and there was a kid standing next to him, a teenage kid. And when the national anthem played, Brockway looked over at the kid and said, "Take your hat off in respect." And the kid looked at him and swore at him and kept his hat on. Well, Brockway picked the kid up by the chin and slammed him on the ground, seriously injuring the boy. It could be a broken skull.
Oh,
right?
My goodness.
So now his lawyer is speaking out.
Whose lawyer?
Brockway, the man who did this horrific attack.
Okay.
His lawyer says that the president's rhetoric was the reason that he grabbed the boy by the throat and slammed him to the ground. Because Brockway is a U.S. Army veteran who believes he was acting on an order by his commander-in-chief.
What?
So the next sentence is, Brockway's decision-making has been affected by a traumatic brain injury he suffered in a vehicle crash in 2000. But he thought his commander-in-chief was telling people if they kneel, they should be fired, or if they burn the flag, they should be punished. He didn't understand it was a crime. And the lawyer says Trump never necessarily says to go hurt somebody, but the message is absolutely clear. I am certain that Brockway was doing what he believed he was told to do by the president. So we have Trump derangement syndrome now as an actual defense in a legal battle, in a criminal case.
All right. Okay. Now let me just say this.
Wow.
That the lawyer is it a he or a she? It doesn't matter. He or she. The lawyer, whether it's a man or a woman, is doing his or her job,
right,
in trying to find a way to get his or her
Lance. It's a he.
It's a he.
Yeah.
That'll simplify my speaking here. The lawyer is doing his job to try to get this guy off. That's what a lawyer is supposed to do. I mean, you remember the old Twinkie defense?
Right.
You know?
Oh, I remember it very well.
Too many Twinkies, that's why my client committed this crime. Okay? So
that was a horrific day in San Francisco, by the way.
Well, I'm saying
lawyers... You triggered me.
They triggered you, sorry. Will concoct whatever wild idea and scheme they can, theory, to try to get their client off. That is... presumably the job of an attorney. However, I can see where there will be, now because of what the left has been saying, there may be juries say, yeah, this is, Ray, I mean...
he might win this.
He could win this. That's how bizarre a world this has become. Ray, I mean, is
man.
So
he was arrested. Is that our charge?
As he should have been.
Yes.
As he should have been. You can't do that, right?
No.
Let's go back to the original event. You cannot do what he did.
It was a horrific attack.
Yeah.
And let me make it clear. If every teenager who was being a wise guy got punched out or harmed,
right,
they'd all be in the hospital.
Right.
At one point or another,
right,
a teenager.
We all would have spent half our teenage years in the hospital.
That's right. I wised off to my dad for the first time in my life, former Marine, when I was a junior or a senior in high school. Let me just quickly say this, okay? My mom called me downstairs. My dad's in the living room. Whenever my mom wanted the kids to do exactly what she said, she told us to do it in front of my dad.
Right.
All right. So she brings me down. She says, "Your room's been messy. I want you to start cleaning up your room." I said, "Well, I've just been too busy lately. I've got all this stuff going on." And my dad said, "Well, I'm busy too, and my room's clean." And I said, "Yeah. Well, I don't have a wife to pick up after me."
Ooh. Oh no!
Wow.
No,
yes.
No.
Yes.
No,
yes, I did.
No, you didn't.
Normally, very obedient, compliant young man. I was a junior, senior in high school. My dad bolted out of the chair, backed me up with the finger on the chest thing. Okay.
Yeah.
And I won't. None of us were Christians. I won't recount the words he used, but I thought my life was going to end. So my point is, all of us at one time or another have popped off to the wrong person.
Right.
That should not lead to assault.
No.
Which, now that I think of it, perhaps my dad shouldn't have done that, but no, he didn't punch me or anything. But what I'm saying is, that's wrong what this guy did. Brock, yeah, what's his name? Brock?
No, it's not his kid.
And even if it was his kid.
True.
I know.
You don't break a kid's neck. But the point, I mean, yes, no one's defending his actions. What they're saying, he's defending his actions by saying, well, he was working on orders from the president. Upset about these
NFL
players.
Well, listen, if this guy gets away with this, I hope the prosecuting attorney or the district attorney says, listen, you can't let him get away with this, or it's Katie bar the door in our culture. All right. So, all right. You are correct, sir. When you came in, you said, I've got something.
You stirred us up. That's for sure.
That is in the twilight zone. It's always a challenge to me. And you brought us there.
You met the challenge.
All right.
All right. What else?
Are you familiar with the actress Rosanna Arquette?
Yes, this story I do know.
In Desperately Seeking Susan and Pulp Fiction and a whole bunch of other movies, which we will not recommend to anybody. But she tweeted out yesterday, for some reason, she said, I'm sorry I was born white and privileged. It disgusts me. I feel so much shame. And then she wrote, I'll never stand for the flag again.
Ray, did you hear it? Had you heard about this story?
I had not. I just heard the first part of the quote. The last part is, therefore, I will not stand for the flag.
It's not therefore. She caught backlash earlier in the week for posting a note of herself kneeling in front of several American flags, noting she doesn't plan to stand for the flag anymore.
And so read that again, her tweet.
I'm sorry I was born white and privileged. It disgusts me, and I feel so much shame.
Well, what do you say about someone like that? Someone who is self-loathing. This is part of what I have against this growing ideology. Now, we discussed this in the last in the last segment, this critical race theory, this idea that you are automatically guilty if you're white. All right, she goes so far as to say, I disgust me. Okay, I am disgusted at myself. Now, I have said that before. It's usually after getting through at an all-you-can-eat buffet.
Right.
All right? Where I say, I disgust me. Okay? So I do sympathize. I have had that feeling before. But here, this really is, Alex mentioned, this really is kind of a hindrance to the gospel, because I got to tell you, folks, if you are bought by the blood of Jesus and you are forgiven of your sins, you do not allow anyone to put further guilt on you for being white, black, blue, red, whatever. You do not allow people to put racial guilt on you, because even if it was true that it's sinful to be white, which it is not, but even if it was true, that's forgiven too. And these people who feel guilty because of their skin color, all right, are going to have a very difficult time receiving the forgiveness and the redemption that comes through Christ. Ray, is that a stretch of the gospel to say these people are heaping condemnation on people who are forgiven?
Well, sure. I mean, it's not stretching it at all. I mean, the heart of the gospel is that the death of Christ, the blood of Jesus, so powerful, so complete, his death so satisfied God's demands that any sin, every sin, all sins can be forgiven. So you hardly know how to respond to a person like this. Well, Steve, what's the connection then with the last part? Therefore, and I'm adding that word. She says the first part, then she says, I will not stand for the flag.
No, I think it's two in a series. The first one was she got some backlash for posting a note of herself kneeling in front of several American flags after the Colin Kaepernick thing. And then she tweeted out then, I'll never stand for the flag again. And then the next day or later, she tweeted out, I'm sorry I was born white and privileged. I think it's just this is virtue signaling to the max.
Wow. Well,
I don't know whether or not she's really ashamed, but she's saying she is. I take words seriously. I use them for a living. And the word pride, when it like white pride or gay pride or all this stuff, I have a problem with that. First of all, with regard to racial identity, pride doesn't really figure, nor does shame, because I have nothing to do with it. I was born this way, so I'm not proud I was born this way, because pride is something
you didn't accomplish it.
I didn't accomplish it.
Right.
Right? And neither am I ashamed, because I didn't do it. I just was. I just am it. So I don't. This just.
It sounds like to me the connection here is she's never going to stand for the flag is because
She hates
ostensibly
America.
Ostensibly, this country was founded by white people.
Right.
And therefore, since she's a self-loathing white person, there's nothing about America that makes her proud. Therefore, she's not going to show honor to the flag.
Yeah.
Well, listen, this country is rapidly separating into two distinct and obviously mutually exclusive camps, because there are a lot of people who disagree with Arquette. Which Arquette was this?
There's Patricia.
Or four of them that are in Hollywood.
The most of them are guys.
There's Patricia, and then there's another Arquette who's a girl. But anyway, there's a couple. Anyway, so the Arquettes are, I'm sure, all on the same page.
Well, it's Hollywood.
Yeah.
All right. Twitter has locked out the McConnell campaign. So you may have seen
Mitch McConnell.
You may have seen the the stories of Antifa types, protesters gathering around Mitch McConnell's house.
Outside the house. Screaming.
Wanting to stab him in the heart, threatening to break his neck, along with foul, foul language. And he took
stuff we can't play.
No, it doesn't matter. It's the breaking of the neck part and the stabbing of the heart part is. Yeah. And so he took a video of these guys and he posted it to YouTube. Well, Twitter.
Yeah.
Twitter says, you're out. We can't post. This is violent rhetoric. You're out. And they will not reinstate the
Mitch McConnell campaign.
Campaign Team Mitch site until they take down the video, which they're not doing.
Okay. So this is an instance in which you can – now, are any of these people who were outside of his house – shouting these, and this was at night, by the way.
It was.
So trying to keep them from sleeping. Any of these people post anything on Twitter that's being allowed? In other words, what does Twitter allow? Perhaps we should applaud Twitter for its very wonderful stand and not allowing people to post vile things, even if it's a recording.
Right.
Okay, so should we applaud Twitter or... is Twitter being one-sided in their standards, double standard?
There is no indication that they allowed these other people to post. I don't know if they did or not. This spokesperson for the Black Lives Matter leader is Chanel Helm, and she justified their attack on McConnell or the threats to McConnell, saying that he doesn't care about people who actually break their necks, who need insulin, they want to take away all of our health care, da-da-da-da-da. But...
what about other people who use Twitter to say vile things? Do they immediately scrub their accounts too?
No, they don't.
You see what I'm driving at, Steve? Help me out here.
As the Trump spokesperson tweeted out, the Lexington Herald could attack Mitch with a cartoon tombstone of his opponents, but it can't. They couldn't mock it. Twitter allows the words "massacre Mitch" to trend nationally on its platform, but they can't post an actual threat.
Yeah, so the point I was getting at is Massacre Mitch is a popular trending tweet, okay,
right.
Or hashtag probably, something like that, and that's allowed, but if you post a video of people actually threatening Mitch McConnell, that gets you your account locked down.
That's right, and
crazy.
I know it.
It is a weird world we live in.
Getting weirder.
Yes. We could do anger stories all day. Let's do one strange story that isn't angry, and then I have another fun story to end the time with. So, did you hear, Ray, that President Trump is considering commuting Rod Blagojevich's
sentence?
All right. Prison sentence?
You got to explain who Blagojevich is.
Rod Blagojevich was the former mayor of Chicago. He was put in 14 years. He was sentenced to 14 years on federal corruption convictions. He was recorded selling a Senate seat, basically, trying to, I think, is what he was
doing. I remember watching the recording.
But President Trump, because he was put in prison by James Comey, President Trump says he was treated unfairly by the ex-FBI director James Comey's gang of, quote, sleazebags.
Well, listen, Ray, and I'm not going to speak for you. I'll let you speak for yourself. But Blagojevich is almost cartoonish in how sleazy he was when he was mayor. I mean, this guy. I mean, if you're going to draw a cartoon strip about caricatures of corrupt Chicago politicians,
that would be him.
He would have his face on it. So I don't know why the president. I mean, you really have to hate Comey an awful lot to consider what Comey did to Blagojevich, putting
him away. He would pardon or release, commute, whatever, Blagojevich just to get back at James Comey. Right?
He's thinking about it, yeah.
And he announces that nobody else has done this. He announces, "I'm thinking about it," just to stir the pot a little bit.
Right, my good buddy Rod Blagojevich.
Right.
All right, so that's just kind of classic Trump.
That's classic Trump.
You don't mess with Trump, he's going to let out Rod Blagojevich. You want to see some heads spin around, folks? You wait.
What's the song, Big Bad Jim? You don't mess around with
Jim. Yeah.
You don't spit on Superman's cape. You don't mess around with Don.
You don't pull the mask on the old Lone Ranger.
You don't mess around with Donald Trump.
Donald Trump.
That was in Chicago, too.
That was Jim Croce.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, hey, one of my favorite movies of all time is almost coming to life. I am a big fan of The Field of Dreams. It was one of my favorite movies. In fact, we talked about it a little while ago. I cry at the end of it every time because of the dad thing.
All right. Well, listen, I'm just going to say right here before we go any further, I have seen Field of Dreams, and I don't get it.
Okay.
I don't get that. Now, anytime father-son stuff, I agree.
Yeah.
You know, mother-daughter, father-daughter, whatever. That's a clutch you moment if it's well done. But the movie, I don't see why this is so popular.
Well,
it is with me. It's your pop. Okay, you love it.
And it is with Major League Baseball because in 2020, the White Sox and the Yankees are going to go to the Iowa cornfield and they're going to play a real Major League game.
No, wait. Iowa cornfield. Wait, is that a real place?
For real?
Yes, for real.
That's a real place.
What do you mean?
Dyersville,
a real
Iowa.
You don't mean an exhibition?
No,
I mean
it counts in the standings. They're going to build a temporary 8,000-seat stadium around this or next to the actual field.
I didn't know this is an actual field. Now,
oh, yeah.
Okay, so this...
Yeah, you can visit there. It's a tourist thing.
Come on.
Wait a second.
Ed, if you build it, they will come.
That's right.
I thought it was a...
they're coming. They built it, and they're coming.
That's right.
I just thought it was a movie. Now, wait a second. So go ahead, Ray.
So it's Babe Ruth and Shoeless Joe Jackson going to walk out of the cornfield?
I don't know. The White Sox are going to probably – I bet you anything they're going to have the players walking out of the cornfield.
Oh, sure.
So
sure.
This movie was based on a true story?
No.
Then how is there a real cornfield?
They filmed the movie.
Well, they built one.
Oh, they filmed the movie. All right. So it's not true. You guys said it's true. It's a real place.
Well, it's a true movie.
It's a real
– That's like having a set that you built – and it's a real set.
Such a popular movie with everybody but you, Ed, that they kept the set up and people go and visit
people
it
go and
because
they,
if you
yeah,
build
it tourist deal.
They will
folks,
come.
I'm not as stupid as I just sounded. Okay.
I wasn't Oz, it's a real movie.
I wasn't saying that I believe that Shoeless Joe Jackson actually walked out of the cornfield.
Right? I don't know what's all right. in the movie.
I thought it was this based on a true story of a guy who thought he saw these guys.
August 13 in Dyersville, Iowa.
Well, that's going to be a hot
ticket.
Next year. Next year.
No normal person's going to be able to pay the money to get that ticket. All right, folks. I'm gonna wait till my face. The blood drains from my face again and slink back to my office. That was an embarrassing exchange for anybody, even me. All right, folks, that's all the time we have for today's issues for Thursday, August 8th. Guess what tomorrow is? It's Trivia Friday. We're going to have fun. No more leftists calling anyone racist. We're just going to have some fun tomorrow. More great programming directly ahead on American Family Radio. Bye-bye. We'll be right back.